We've been in this series called God's Invitations to the World. We started in Genesis chapter 7 and verse number 1, where God said, interesting choice of words, not go into the ark. He said, come into the ark, because God was already inside waiting for Noah and his family to join him. And what we've learned, Old or New Testament, the Bible is full of God's invitations. It's full of God's invitation to lost people, and it's full of God's invitations to Christians. Even on the very last page of your Bible, God is still saying, come. He's still inviting men and women and boys and girls who understand their need for a Savior. He's saying, come. Let him come. He's interested in your salvation. He cares about you, especially about where you're going to spend eternity. And I don't think there's anything for the lost person or the saved person, either one, I don't think there's anything that ought to occupy our time or our mind more than eternity. If it does, you'll live your life differently here. For the Christian, if you'll live your light in light of the fact that you're going to stand before God one day, and that's at the judgment seat of Christ, the Christian's going to stand before God, and the works that you do as a believer on this planet are going to be brought before the Lord. If we live like that, we'll be reminded that there is an eternity that we're all heading to. I know there are people out here who think that when you die, you just cease to exist. I'm telling you, by what God says in his word, which I believe is absolutely true, that's not true, that you just cease to exist. That's a terrible philosophy to hold to. Because there are a lot of people in hell today who thought when they passed from this life, that was all they had to worry about. How terrible would it be to think that you're never going to face God, only to die and find yourself like that rich man did in Luke chapter 15 or 16, to find yourself in hell? Well, God's trying to avoid that with people. Peter wrote that God's not willing, God is not desirous that any should perish. Hell was never created for people. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. God's not willing that people perish. He wants them to come to repentance. But God knows this, that just because he cares about the souls of men, it doesn't mean that all people are going to heaven. Today we're going to look at the invitation to conversion. God has invited you to be saved if you're not. And I'm not so optimistic as to think that everybody sitting in this room or joining us online today, that every person is going to heaven. In fact, Matthew 7 says that there is a large number of people who think they're going to heaven that aren't. Is that not a scary passage of scripture to you? Many there shall be in that day that cry unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in thy name, and in thy name have cast out demons? And he will say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. They went through their life thinking they were going to heaven. And they used good deeds as proof of that, only to find out that they're doomed. So I'd ask you to do this today. I'd ask you to consider your salvation, why you think you're going to heaven today, because I don't want you to be one of those many people in Matthew chapter 7 that say, Lord, I never expected to be condemned. I never expected to spend eternity in hell. I thought for sure I was going to heaven. There are a lot of people sitting in a lot of good churches today that think they're going to heaven, or they're hoping and go to heaven. But you don't have to hope. God, through John, said you can know. Well, that's where we're going with our message today. And here's my opening thought for you. To be saved, you must respond to God's invitation. And you do that by confessing your sins, repenting of them, and believing on his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, here's the truth. That's the only way you're going to heaven, or I'm going to heaven. I don't care what other religions or denominations or preachers and teachers say. And I don't care if they're holding a King James Bible open when they say it. If they preach unto you or teach unto you any other way to heaven besides Jesus Christ, they're lying to you. It just won't happen. The invitation to conversion. Jesus died at Calvary to pay for your sin. He rose from the dead to guarantee everlasting life. That resurrection is possible. He returned to heaven, the Bible says, to pray for us. And if you refuse this invitation to come to him, you can't be saved. You won't be saved. This is a sobering passage of Scripture today, but it's a wonderful passage of Scripture. We're condemned under sin, but God in his grace has made a way out for us. And he did that through Jesus Christ. So this is a pretty important invitation. Revelation chapter 22, and the verse we're looking at, only one verse today, is number 17. Jesus has just told us that he's coming back and he's bringing rewards. Verse 17 says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." John Phillips would call that a verse pregnant with interpretation. It is full of truth for us today. The Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. That is a fantastic invitation. Just come. Father, thank you for your word. We have one verse we're looking at today, and it exposes the grace that you have toward people. A sinful people that you created who rebelled against you, and you went to such great lengths that you gave your son to die for fallen men and women. So today when we look at this, help us not to pass it off too quickly. For those who are saved today, may this be a wonderful reminder of the biggest reason we should be thankful, Lord, that you saved us when we couldn't save ourselves. And then if there are those sitting in here or listening and watching online who aren't sure about their salvation, Lord, could today be that day that you open their heart and their understanding? And Lord, don't let anything keep them from being saved. Don't let fear or anxiety or nervousness or pride keep them from coming and humbling themselves before you and seeing from your word how they can be saved from their sins. Bless your word in this church service today. We pray it in your name. Amen. The Spirit and the bride say, Come. It opens up there. And let him that heareth say, Come. There's a twofold invitation going on in this verse. And until this week, and if you back up and read the verses before this where Jesus is talking, and if you have a red letter edition of the Bible, you can see where Jesus is talking. And he says that he's coming. Back up in verse 13, verse 12 rather, it says, "Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according to, as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." He said, "I'm coming." And then there are some verses that pass, and you come to verse number 17 when Jesus has stopped talking, and he started by saying, "I'm coming and my reward is with me." And then you come to this part, and it says, "The Spirit and the bride say, Come." There's a twofold invitation going on, and the first one is this: the Spirit of God and the bride of Christ are inviting Jesus to return to the earth. The first part of that verse, the Spirit and the bride are talking to Jesus. He said, "I'm coming. My reward's coming with me." They said, "Come." As a bride of Christ, that's you, the New Testament church. You're the bride of Christ. Paul said we are to love his appearing. So any chance you get, when you come across a promise where Jesus says, "I'm coming back to the earth," in John chapter 14, "I'll come and receive you to myself, that where I am," you ought to stop and pray right there like John is going to at the end of this book. "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." The invitation that is extended first here is from the Holy Spirit and the bride of Christ, and they're inviting Jesus to come. They're responding to his promise. The Spirit invites him to come back because the Spirit wants to see the Son glorified. We know about that from John 14 and 16. The bride says come and invites Jesus to hasten his return because we want to be with the one who has saved us. There should be something in your heart that's incomplete. And that should be your physical absence from the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I should love his appearing because we want to be with Jesus. Jesus is going to be what makes heaven so great. The loved ones that are there, that's going to be a wonderful reunion. And we'll be awed, I'm sure, by the absolute glory of heaven. But the thing that makes heaven as wonderful as it can be is that you and I are going to be with Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus, the song said this morning. Well, the Spirit and the bride say, Lord, you said you're coming. Come. Pray, church. Pray. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Pray for him to return. And then it says, not only the Spirit and the bride say come, he says this, let him that heareth say come. That's the person who understands what they're hearing from the gospel. Let the person who heard the good news that Jesus is coming again, let him invite Jesus to come back. You remember how many times Jesus said, in fact, he does so at the beginning of the book of Revelation in chapters 2 and 3. He says this oftentimes, let him that hath ears to hear, or him that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That just doesn't mean to hear the voice. That means to hear with understanding. That's who he's talking about in verse number 17. Let him that heareth with understanding, let him say, yes, come. Let the Lord Jesus come. So there's two parts of this invitation. The first part is the Spirit of God and the church of Christ, the bride of Christ, say, come, Lord Jesus, even so, come quickly. But the second part of that invitation is made to lost people to come to Jesus and to be saved. There's an invitation here for the person who doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior, who has never had their sins forgiven. There's an invitation here that says, come. Let him that is athirst come. Every person here mentioned up to this point is involved in the business of inviting people to Jesus. Now, I said at the beginning of this verse, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and they're talking to Jesus saying, come. But you know the Holy Spirit of God is inviting people to come to Christ today who are lost. That's the ministry of conviction. And you and I, as the bride of Christ, as people who have the gospel, we are to be inviting people to come to Jesus. May I just put a plug in here? And I want people to come to Faith Baptist Church. I want more people to come to Faith Baptist Church. I want them to know you. I love my church family. I want them to come and hear truth, whether it's me preaching it from here or someone teaching it in a classroom. I know this is a place where truth is dispensed. I want more people to come to Faith Baptist Church. But you ought not to invite people to come to church more than you invite people to come to Jesus. Talk to people about being saved. The bride, that's you and that's me. We're the bride of Christ. We are to Jesus, we're to say, yes, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But to the lost person, we're to say, come to Jesus. As the bride of Christ, we're saying to him, come Jesus. To the lost people, we say, come to Jesus. The Spirit of God invites people through his convicting ministry. In John 16, verses 7 through 11. And the bride invites people to come to Jesus through her witnessing ministry. We hear that word less and less these days, that we ought to be witnessing for Jesus. That has become relegated to pastors and teachers, and that's why people are more invited to come to church than they are to come to Jesus today. But when you go to the New Testament church in the book of Acts, people are being saved out there, and they're being added to the church. And I want to encourage you to become better at inviting people, not so much to come to church, but invite them to come, but become better at inviting people to come to Jesus. Because what if they die before they have an opportunity to come to our next church service? You see, you can invite somebody on Monday to come to church on Wednesday, or invite them on Thursday to come on Sunday, But you got about 72 hours in there where who knows what's going to happen. We don't know what a day's going to bring forth. So invite people to come, invite them to come to Jesus. And let me say this, church. Now, if you're visiting with us today, I'm just talking to our church family here, but if you need this, take it. Be ready to talk to people about Jesus. Don't you hate getting caught off guard? You ever watch these politicians when they get caught off guard by a question? The deer in the headlights, man. They just, boom, then they just start making something up. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:15 that you and I ought to be ready to give an answer to every man that asks us a reason of the hope that we have. Do you have hope of going to heaven one day in Jesus Christ? Yes, you do as a Christian. Then be ready to tell somebody. Pastor, I don't know if I could tell somebody how to be saved or not. I just don't think I could do that. Let me ask you a question. This is rhetorical. Don't raise your hands. Do you remember how you got saved? Then tell them to do that. That's all you have to do. You know, when Paul preached, a lot of times in Paul's messages that are recorded in the book of Acts, at least three times, it's him telling what happened to him on the Damascus Road. That's his sermon. I was going this way, and I was determined to destroy the church. God knocked me off my horse with a bright light and talked to me from heaven, and I was saved. Paul just told people what happened to him. You can be ready to give an answer to every person that asks why you are like you are when it comes to Christianity. You can be ready. All you have to do is tell them what God did for you. Now, let me say this. Make sure that you have something to tell them. I do not believe that you have to remember the date or the time of day that you got saved. But you need to remember the act of being saved. Don't rely on somebody else's. My wife will give you her testimony. She grew up being told, yeah, you got saved when you were 5. But she didn't remember being saved. And you haven't always been saved. Well, I've always been a Christian. No, you haven't. We already looked at what God said. We're transgressors from the womb, the Bible says. You've not always been Christian. You may have always been a good little boy or a good little girl, but you always haven't been saved. You may not remember the date that you were saved, but you ought to remember being saved. And if you don't, you need to be very sure that you are saved. I'd back up and I'd look at that. And if you remember how God saved you, you can give an answer to someone who asks. You can witness. You can tell people, come to Jesus. How do I do that? Well, you can do it like I did. And then you tell them how you came to Christ. I think we have to look at this. And God opens the Bible in Genesis with the invitation to come into the ark, which is an invitation for Noah to be saved from the judgment. And then he closes his book. Come. Let him come. He says that how many times in verse number 17? 1, 2, 3 times in one verse he says, come. This invitation is found at the very end of God's word, at the closing of Scripture, because Jesus is coming again. And he wants us to know this invitation is not always going to be opened. Jesus is coming again. He left somewhere around 2,000 years ago. He left and he promised again and again that he was coming. In fact, the last thing he said in Acts chapter 1, and then he starts ascending back to heaven. The last thing he says is, I'm coming. Acts chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Revelation chapter 1, now in Revelation chapter 22. I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. And so he makes this invitation come. That's the wonderful side of this invitation. Jesus is coming again. I can't wait. I don't even care if it's before the inauguration. Let him come. I don't care if it's before Christmas or before Thanksgiving. Let him come. That is wonderful news. Jesus is coming again. Hymn number 239 in our hymnal says, Jesus is coming again. That's the title of the hymn. Great song. Now the sad side of his return is that not everybody's going to be ready, and his return is going to seal their eternity. God doesn't want you to go to hell. God doesn't want you to hope you're going to heaven. God wants you to know it. And so the last thing that he talks about in his word before it goes back to black letters is an invitation to come to him. The invitation to come. The cause of this invitation is that Jesus is coming again. Why is God inviting us to come to him? The cause of the invitation is Christ's return. Jesus is coming again. There's a good side, and then there's a sad side to that. The good side is for the believer. The sad side is for the unbeliever. Because those left behind, when Jesus takes his bride off of the planet in the rapture, that's described in 1 Thessalonians 4, everybody else that's left behind is condemned. They're going to be stuck at the tribulation period. Don't be left behind. The cause of this invitation is the return of Jesus Christ. Don't get stuck here. The second thing I want you to see are the candidates. Who's this invitation to? The candidates of this invitation. It says right in the middle of the verse, and him that is athirst, let him come. And then it goes on to say, and whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely. There's two different people here that this invitation is extended to. First, it says him that is athirst. This is describing the person who wants more than they're getting in this life. This is describing the person that's thirsty, and the Holy Spirit has been drawing him or drawing her, and there's a thirst there that's not being satisfied by the things of the world. I know there are people, I've met them, and you probably have too. There are people who try to find in this life satisfaction, some kind of peace. They're looking for some type of escape from what they're dealing with in this world. So they try different things. Now, some turn to alcohol or substance abuse. Some turn to things. And they tend to think if they have more things, if they acquire more things, those things will bring happiness. I heard a guy say one time, he said that money can't buy happiness. I've been told money can't buy happiness. But it can buy a jet ski, and I've never seen anybody unhappy on a jet ski. You know, there are people living their life and they're betting their eternity on that philosophy right there. If I get enough things or the right things, I'll be happy and I'll be satisfied. And then they get those things, and you know what they want then? More of it. It's why I was doing Bible study with the police department the other day down here, and one of those guys said, if I had the money, I would open up a storage unit. He said, those things are such money makers. And have you noticed how many we have in Little Jefferson County? Every one of them are full. Why is that? Because people are pretty convinced they can find happiness in things. And they've got things in storage they haven't touched in years. They're probably not even any good anymore because they've sat there for years. I'm trying to talk Brenda Evans out of a job because she works at a storage unit. My bad, Brenda. She's sitting there laughing while I'm saying this, but you know it's true. We're storing things that we have no intent of using. And they try things. They try alcohol. They try drugs. They try sex in relationships. They do all they can to get the status. They want the title on the door to be different and higher up the ladder, and if I get that, I'll be at peace. And they get there, and they find out they're not. And that's the person this invitation to is, you people are thirsty? You've tried drinking from the pools of the world, and you're still thirsty? Let him that is athirst come. That's the first person. Then, boy, does it open up after that. Let him that is athirst come. And then the Holy Spirit just, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. This world and its attractions are promising you something that it cannot deliver. That's why John wrote to us, don't love the world. Remember 1 John 2:15? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Why? Because they cannot deliver what they're promising. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. The world can't provide things to satisfy because the world is going to pass away and everything in it. I'm not a doomsdayer. I do believe the Bible. When the Bible says, God's word says, heaven and earth shall pass away. I just believe that. That this world and what it has going for it is temporary. Let me ask you these questions. How many have sought satisfaction in a bottle only to learn too late it was a trap? How many have sought escape in drugs only to learn that they have been caught in a snare or a trap? How many have pursued pleasures of the flesh only to be left alone, unwanted, and scarred with guilt? I'm just telling you, those things can't satisfy. That's why we're told not to love the world. And it's to those hurting people that this invitation is extended. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Just come to Jesus and be saved. And according to verse 17, whosoever is willing to be saved is a candidate for it. Whosoever will. I've marked that word. If you're a Bible writer, I would mark that word. That word W-I-L-L is what's keeping most people from going to heaven. They will not submit their will to God's will. This is a will. This is a change of our volition, of our desire. We're not going to do that. We are choosing not to do that. Any person, though, from any place or any race or any background or any level of sinfulness, they can be saved. Your sin is not greater than God's grace. I love that verse, and I need it. Where sin did abound, grace did not more abound. It did much more abound. Grace is always bigger. John 6:37, Jesus promises this. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He says in our text, let him that is athirst come. And Jesus said, if you do, I won't cast you out. He will receive. He's not interested in your money. He's not interested in your education. He's not interested in your background. He's not interested in your religion. He's interested in you and your eternal soul, and he wants to keep it from hell. The cause of this invitation is Jesus is coming back. Tell people about him. The candidates for this invitation, ultimately, whosoever will. The cost of the invitation. The cost of the invitation. Now it says the very last word, and if you're an English major, it bugs you that there's an adverb ending that sentence. But I am so thankful that last word of verse number 17 is there. Amen. Let him take of the water of life freely. There's your cost. I like free stuff, don't you? I missed out. Trilite had their celebration for their 5 years down here in Dandridge the other day. And they said, you come by, and there were gifts to give out, and I'm like, I always try to go. Free stuff, I'm for free stuff. And I completely forgot about their little invitation to go. But Jesus says, you can take the water of life freely. The gift of salvation here has been offered to him that is athirst. And Jesus talks about salvation being the water of life. And he says, it's free to you. You can't earn it. And there are religions out there telling you that you have to do these things in order to get this salvation. They're not telling you the truth. They're either deceivers or they're deceived. One of the two. But they're wrong either way. This is free. Salvation is free to you. Now, you've heard the preachers say it cost Jesus everything. He gave his life. He paid the price. But to you, free. Let him take of the water of life freely. It's given as a free gift because Jesus paid our sin debt. When the gift of salvation is received, it's taken freely. It's just that. Romans 6:23 calls salvation a gift. The gift of God is eternal life. Now, we take that eternal life and we make that sound like it's just one thing. But do we sometimes forget just how great this salvation is that he's offering to us free? It's one thing do you remember the Yugo, the car? Some of you won't, some of you will. It's like a little wind-up car, but they let it go on the roads. If I walk up to you and I said, look, I just want to give you a Yugo. Brand new, fully decked out, about $8.99. I don't know what they were. There's nothing to them. I'm not giving you much if I give you a Yugo. But if I walked up and said, look, I want to give you a fully decked out Jeep Grand Wagoneer. I looked this up. We saw one yesterday. My daughter and I saw one yesterday. I said, that's a high dollar car right there. It says it's about $75,000 or $80,000. She looked it up. She said, no, it's not. I said, higher? She said, yeah. I said, 90? She said, 91 is the base model. I said, are you kidding me? If I walked up and tell you I'm going to give you a Jeep Grand Wagoneer decked out, you owe me a kiss or a hug or something. $101,000. If I walk up and tell you I'm going to give you a Yugo for free, I'm not giving you very much. But if I walk up and give you a Grand Wagoneer tricked out, I'm giving you a pretty good gift, aren't I? What if Jesus walks up and says, I'll give you eternal life forever. I'll give it to you for absolutely free. What if I do that? You know what he just gave you? In fact, I listed this free salvation. I listed some things for you to consider today. What are the benefits of our salvation that he's offering us free? Well, immediately, you're forgiven of every sin you committed or will commit. Amen. Psalm chapter 103, verse 12, 1 John 1, 7. You receive adoption into God's family, Romans 8, 15. You become by birth, by way of the new birth, you become a child of God, 1 John 3, 1 and 2. You are granted eternal life, John 6, 47, John 10, 28, 1 Peter 1, 5. You get citizenship in heaven, Philippians 3:20. You also get an eternal home in heaven, John 14:1-3. You get the indwelling, the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:13 and John 14:23. You have the promise of God's presence with you always, Hebrews 13:5, Matthew 28:20. You have the promise of God's provision for every need, Matthew 6:25-34 and Philippians 4:19. You receive the peace of God that passes all understanding, John 14:27. You're made a new creature in Christ, with old things having passed away and all things becoming new, 2 Corinthians 5:17. You get new life in this world, 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. You get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Luke 10:20, Philippians 4:3. You get a seat with Christ in heaven. Ephesians 2:6. I don't know how all that works yet, but I will. And for some of us, maybe, you get the possibility of being raptured. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Titus chapter 2. Psalm 103 says, don't you forget all his benefits. And when he talks to us in Revelation 22:17, and he says, you can come and you can take the water of life freely, this is what he's giving you. It's not just a get out of hell free card. It is so much more than that. Benefit after benefit after benefit. So I have to ask you, as a preacher today, I have to ask you, have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are these things yours? Are you sure that if you died today, before we can gather back here tonight at 6 o'clock, are you sure if you died before 6 o'clock tonight, you'd go to heaven when you die? Because this is what Jesus is offering. The cost is free. The benefits, well, I just listed maybe 15 of them or so. The benefits are innumerable. And the amazing thing is, every one of those benefits are eternal. They last forever. The presence of God forever. The peace of God in this life and the one to come forever. How many people do you know in this world that are absolutely without peace? You've got the answer for it. It's in Jesus Christ. Last thing this morning, and then we're done. There's a catch. The catch of this invitation. Do you ever, I'm bad for this. Are you a proponent of, if it sounds too good to be true? It probably is. There's a catch. There's a catch with this offer. It's free, but there's a catch. And the catch is found in the very words here. Let him take the water of life. Here's the catch. The offer God makes here is no different. There's a catch to his free offer of salvation, and here it is. God's offering people a free gift, but that gift must be received. It must be received. Let him take the water of life freely. It's not going to get crammed down your throat. You're trying to give your kids medicine that's good for them. You will hold their nose till they open up, and then in it goes. God says, you have to take this gift. The water of life, I mentioned that earlier, the water of life pictured here is the gospel message that leads to salvation. Take of the water of life. It's the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, define the gospel for us. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the water of life that's offered to you. Now you have to receive it. Let him take the water of life. God loved sinners so much that the Bible says he gave his only begotten son. He gave his son to die, and Jesus did. Mark chapter 10, Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. It's why I came. For this cause I was born, Jesus will tell Pilate. But you have to receive this gift. Does God want you to be saved? Absolutely. Is there a way for you to be saved regardless of what your past looked like? Pastor, if you only knew my past. I don't. God does. And he says, come. You are whosoever will. Doesn't matter my past. Doesn't matter your past. God says, come. Not because of a church you were a member of. Not for the good deeds that you've done. Well, I was baptized. Well, okay. But if you didn't know Jesus Christ as your Savior when you got baptized, what does the old harsh preacher say? All you did was get wet. That's hard, but it's true. Your person's not baptized unless they get saved. Baptism doesn't have anything to do with your salvation other than to tell people, I am a Christian already. This is my public profession of it. But it doesn't make me a Christian. I get baptized because I'm saved, not to be saved. There's a catch. You have to take this free gift of salvation. Jesus paid for it. It's free. You've got to take it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 21 says, for he hath made him, for God hath made Jesus, to be sin for us. Jesus, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Jesus, in him. God hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of Christ in him. His death paid for our sin, but we have to receive that gift. We have to accept that gift of salvation. Is he calling you? Yes, he will. He will call. You have to receive. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's that word again. Whosoever. But you have to call on the name of the Lord. You don't get salvation by osmosis. You don't get salvation because your mom and dad are saved. You don't get salvation because grandma and grandpa took you to church. You get salvation because you acknowledge you're a sinner and that Jesus is the only way to be saved, and he will save your sins if you'll confess your sin and repent of those sins. This is a 2,000-year-old invitation, and it still stands today. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. 2,000-year-old invitation, and it's still being extended today. But it's not always going to be extended. So if there's a chance today that you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven, I don't care who's sitting by you. I don't care what other people would think. You shouldn't care what other people think. If there is a chance that I could go to hell, I would beat down any door I had to beg God to save my soul. And you'll know what you'll find? You'll find that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Him that cometh unto me, Jesus said, I will in no wise cast out. If you've got a need for a Savior today, we have a Savior for you. His name is Jesus, and it's not about being Baptist. It's about knowing him. It's not what my theology is. It's about what God's word has to say. And Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. And he'll do that. Well, let's wrap this up. Every part of the Godhead is involved in saving you or me. God loved you enough to give his son for you. Jesus gave his life on the cross to save you, and the Holy Spirit goes throughout the world today, and maybe in your heart this morning, calling people to be saved. All that remains is for you to take that gift that God's offering you. Let him take the water of life freely. If you want that gift, you need to come to Jesus, and you need to do it today. I would never try to use scare tactics to draw someone to Christ. That's really not my role as a pastor. But I'll tell you, as a chaplain with two different police departments, there's no guarantee you're going to make it home from this church service today. I've done a lot of death notifications, a lot of them. And I can't tell you how many people had no idea that their loved one was living their last day when I show up at their doorstep. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Pastor, you've really given me something to think about this morning. I'd like to go home and think about this and maybe look up some of those verses. Okay, but you're assuming a lot between here and your home. How many do you know that seem to be in perfect health and were gone just like that? What if they were thinking about a message like this that they had heard? Again, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just saying there's a reality out there that says life is very precarious. And if God's given you the opportunity to sit in this room today or to join us online and hear that Jesus died to save you, and it doesn't matter what you've done in the past or what you've tried in the past, Jesus will save you. If you sit in a room like this today and say, wait, my friend, God doesn't owe you any more grace or opportunity. Would you come today and be saved if you don't know that you are? Christian, maybe this time of Thanksgiving, you just need to stop, maybe by yourself, maybe this morning at the altar, but during the season of Thanksgiving, maybe you just need to stop and rehearse again what all God did for you when he saved you. It's deeper than just not going to hell. Boy, there are a lot of benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Keep those things going through your mind. Would you stand this morning with your head bowed and your eyes closed? We're going to have just a brief time of invitation here this morning. And this invitation is the opportunity. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, here's the instructions today. If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven when you die, in just a moment when the instrument begins to play, step out of the seat where you're at. Meet me down here at the front and just let me know. Pastor, I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. I know you think I'm saved. My family might think I'm saved, but I don't know it. I'll put you with somebody who will open God's word and not tell you what I think or what Faith Baptist Church thinks. They will show you from the scripture how you can know you're going to heaven when you die. That's how you get through this invitation today. If you don't know you're saved, come and be saved. Come. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Just come. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for making it clear how we can receive forgiveness for our sins that are such an offense to you. How we can escape the penalty of eternity in hell. You've made it clear, Lord, how we can know heaven is our home for eternity. Regardless of when or how we die, we can know we're going to end up in your presence. Thank you for making it clear in your word. Thank you for inviting us to come. And I pray for the person in here right now, and they're debating, and Satan's whispering, Lord, and he is interrupting the conviction of your Holy Spirit, and they're debating whether or not to come. Help them to come and be saved today. I pray for the Christian who's taken for granted this great salvation, and they've forgot from what they were saved, and Lord, for what they were saved. Draw them to yourself, back to yourself today, I pray. In your name, amen. Would you hold your heads bowed with your eyes closed just for a moment? This is really kind of a personal